When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This week on Brumbeat's World.
You and I both grew up in the South. We grew up being one of very few Black people in our environment. And I was never made to feel like I was allowed to enjoy country. Like I wasn't welcome in these spaces. But then I listened to this album and it reminded me, my family has been in this country for generations. We have worked the tobacco field. We have worked the coal mines. We were actual cowboys. Like, to know that my family has such history with what gets to be defined as country in this very country, and then also be told that we don't get to claim any of it. I love that Beyonce was like, no, babes, no. Mm-hmm. We coming for what's ours. When this boy meets
world. What up, bros?
What up, bros?
And welcome to Bruh Meets World.
Well, it's Bruh Meets World.
Your Cowboy Carter fan cast. I'm your Buckaroo Siege.
And I'm Cowboy Tony.
Cowboy Tony! You guys, this is our extra credit episode where we
y'all
are
y'all gonna get sick of us real fast. I'm just gonna I'll
say this. We are covering Beyonce's latest album, Cowboy Carter, and I have not had a moment where my brain has not been playing one of these songs in the background. If you have ADHD, you are very familiar that like your mind will get a song and it's just like in there. My mind has an album. I wake up every morning with a different song playing in my head. And I'm happy about it.
I gotta say, I only have gotten a chance to listen to the album a few times. I've been traveling this last week, so I've been kind of out and about. But from what I've probably listened to it maybe two or three times. I have favorites, I have takes, and I can't wait to jump into it.
Absolutely. All right, so just to kind of give you guys a little bit of breakdown of how this is going to go, we are going to talk about the album. We are going to list our top five favorites each. We'll have some honorable mentions and then we will wrap it up. Again, this is an extra credit episode, so it won't be as long as our regular episodes, but we had to talk about Beyonce. You have to,
otherwise it would have been us trying to sandwich this conversation into a regular episode and it would have taken over that episode.
Absolutely. You guys know how we get when we are passionate about things, and if you wanted a Boy Meets World episode this week, you should have had them on the set listening to Cowboy Carter, because that's all we could talk about.
I think we had one episode a few years ago where it was like, hey, we're not going to talk about this episode at all. We're just going to talk about Black Panther, which had just came out. Yeah. So I was like, oh, this is probably a better way to go about it.
Absolutely. Okay, before we dive in, we want to give a shout out to all of our listeners who have been sending us emails and recordings. We love hearing from you. If you want to share your thoughts on the show, on any of our extra credits, any of our things, hit us up at brumbeatsworld@gmail.com or hit us up on all of our platforms at brumbeatsworld. You can go to our YouTube. You can subscribe to our Patreon. You guys, you have figured out the ways to keep talking to us, so I have faith in you. But we look forward to hearing from you while we talk about Cowboy Carter.
Where should we start?
Okay, first of all, you gotta start from the beginning. Let's just talk about the album for a little bit, which is to say, like, how did you feel when you heard it? Because I'm not gonna lie, I asked you, I'm gonna talk a little bit. I went and I canceled all plans for Friday.
Oh,
sent my husband away. I prepared. I had an edible. I had some drinks. And I went when it hit midnight East Coast time, which was 9 p.m. our time. I went into my room, sat by myself, opened up my Spotify, and just listened to it unbothered. I turned off my phone. I was like, I'm going to be so tempted to be on my phone and see what everyone else is saying. And I was like, but no, I want to experience this album the way Beyonce wants me to experience this album, which is from start to finish, no interruptions, no outside opinions, just vibes. And I gotta say, like every 5 seconds, I would just be like, this bitch. Tony, how did you feel? How did you respond to
Okay, up? So I heard the album while driving to a waterfall in Oregon that was like a 2-hour drive. So I was like driving through the countryside of Oregon, just listening to the album through. Perfect place just to be in the country while listening to it. And honestly, it was just a range of emotions. Like, it was, you know, obviously, I've listened to it, like I said, like 2 or 3 times. I think it's probably going to take like 5 more times for me to really appreciate and understand everything. But just those first impressions of being like, oh, wait, we're doing this now. Oh, wait, we're doing this now. She got who? Post Malone.
Oh my God, Post Malone. Like, we'll get into it. But like, the collabs on this and the features on this is so amazing. And then, as of this recording, they just released the credits. So the people who behind the scenes are on this album. It is like Beyonce is just on a whole other level. But continue. Keep telling your story.
Yeah. So like I said, it was just kind of an array of emotions. Obviously, there were a few songs that stuck out to me the first time, and then some others the second and third time that really kind of popped out as being interesting. I mean, the whole album is really incredible. You know what? I remember us having a conversation when I think Texas Hold'em first came out, like, or she dropped the first few singles, and we were like, oh, like, it would be really great for her to show a spotlight to some other Black country artists. And boy, did she.
Yeah.
Boy, did she show up for that.
Boy, howdy.
And just like, I love just, you know, the praise and attention that, you know, other artists are getting, but also just the conversation that she's sparking. Like, is this a country album? Everybody has so many opinions on like her being in the country and all of that. And I just think that this album was the whole point. It was breaking the barrier. And the one thing I was kind of comparing it to in my head was, and I think I've talked about this on the podcast, that Michael Jackson, when he did his Off the Wall album, my favorite Michael Jackson album, but it's a disco album, right? And then the problem Michael Jackson was having at the time that album came out was that he couldn't get his videos played on MTV because they said it was rock music. So they were like, hey, this is a rock music station. And so this motherfucker, if you listen to Thriller, there's guitar. There's like, you think about something like Beat It. Like, he really decided like, oh, I'm going to break through the genres to eliminate this barrier. And I think that Beyonce, this specific Beyonce album, has done that in the best way I've seen in my lifetime.
Absolutely. I think the thing about this album that is amazing is Beyonce really did kind of, A, she announced that this wasn't a country album, this was a Beyonce album, and then when you listen to it, you're like, oh, this bitch created a genre of her own.
Yeah.
She's like, I make Beyonce music. That's what I make. Transcends genres. Like, there's a whole thing talking about how it transcends genres, but I think that it's amazing because you really did. I listened to this album and I'm like, nobody. I'm sorry. I don't know who like your faves are. I have nothing against your faves. I have plenty of other artists who I really appreciate. Nobody is in the music industry the way Beyonce is. Nobody is taking these chances the way Beyonce is. I've listened to a lot of like new releases lately and everyone has like they release something and you're like, oh, that sounds like them. That sounds cool. I like it.
Yeah.
But Beyonce is like trying new things constantly.
Yeah.
And I just find it like amazing. So yeah, keep going.
I was just going to say, you know, like you said, there's been a lot of people coming out with albums. I think about like Justin Timberlake and J-Lo and how their albums are like flopping hard. And I think part of the reason is that Beyonce isn't just releasing music. Like, she's trying to create art and she's also doing like the work. Like she's doing the history lessons. She's trying to incorporate genres and melodies and like all of these like homages to not just country music, but just Black music, American music. I think this album falls under the title of Americana in terms of genre, in terms of just being a soundtrack of America. And yes, it has a folksy country, you know, heart at the center of it, but there's just of all the genres that you know you can find throughout America, I feel like this album does a great job of reflecting all of them.
I love that you said that. I don't know where you got it from, but I was listening to another podcast and Kendra James said on it, she said that she identified this as Americana as well, and I was like, that's what this is. It pulls together all of the elements of America and the symbolism of America and the packaging of America. I think people forget that America is an export, and it has been since its foundation. And America has iconography and sounds and all of these things, most of which were built on the backs of Black and brown people.
Yeah.
And yet they are given a white face, they are packaged and sold to the masses, and Beyoncé said, we're not doing that anymore. She literally opens up the album with American Requiem, and in that song, for those of you who don't know, a requiem is like a funeral song, meaning that like this is the end, and she's like, yeah, all of these things that we told ourselves about America, all of these ideologies of America, all of those things we're done with. We are moving forward. Is the wind of change is coming. And I appreciated her so much because not only someone had pointed out on the cover of Cowboy Carter, the horse is going in one direction and Beyoncé is faced the other. And someone said that that is to symbolize this idea that in order to move forward, we have to look to our past. We have to look at what we have done and where we have come from in order to move forward. And there, that theme is played consistently throughout this album, and I just like there's so much symbolism. We can't possibly get to everything, but
I also think that like the way, you know, she's been using the flag imagery and the American because she references it throughout the songs as well, not just in the photo shoots or whatever that's been coming out, is almost kind of reflective to how us as Americans are kind of we've kind of rebelled against this kind of overly patriotic propaganda that we've been force-fed throughout. And she is rebranding the flag. She's taking ownership of the flag and making it Black and making it like a native influence and like respect to like those who are true Americans in a way that doesn't reflect the old white men that sit in Washington. Like, I just think that it's a very timely album to come out right now, even though, you know, as it's been said, this album was supposed to come out before Renaissance. This was you know, she wanted this album to come out before Renaissance, but the pandemic happened and she was like, you know what, they deserve to dance, let me put this dance album out first. But I actually think the timing of it worked out really well, just because I think, like I said, it's kind of reflective to this rebellion that I've seen stewed up throughout the country.
Absolutely. And like everything that you said is totally accurate in sense of, I think about the usage of the flag. And on the cover, a lot of people are like, but how dare she like promote the flag? And it's like, that's not the full flag for two reasons. One, it doesn't show the blue and the stars, because as a lot of people have pointed out, we're not united at this point in time. But it does show the stripes, the red and white stripes, which were always a way of showing the blood and bone that built this country. And also, by removing the stars from it, it also transcends time, because those of you who know, the one thing that has been consistent has been those red and white stripes, but the stars, the number of stars, the formation of the stars, those have always changed throughout time. So by, again, just using the flag in this way, she is symbolizing that this is supposed to transcend time and space. And this album does that so well. One of the things that I love, especially about the third half of the album, is that Beyoncé is blending all of these genres, all, as you said, the Americana of it all of these different American sounds, and sprinkling little bits.
It's a melting pot.
It is a melting pot. of an album, and it's so beautiful to listen to. A lot of the songs will start off one way and change halfway through, and like, it's amazing. You said that this was supposed to come before Renaissance, and to me, the first time I heard it, I was like, I can tell. It sounds like, to me, the evolution of Lemonade, and I can really hear the Lemonade influences. And my husband was talking about, he made a playlist of like where he thought songs should fit.
Well, like Jolene is like a great reference, like to Lemonade, and that, like, I mean, what's it, Dolly Parton says, what was it, your Becky with the good hair was blonde, mine was auburn, or something like that. Like, it feels like a progression, but also like in terms of taking the past to the present, it would make sense to kind of start with the folk and kind of lead into the disco after. I just want to comment a little bit on what you said about how it like is a melting pot with time as well, because there's so many references that not are only you know, country, but really go back to like what, the beginnings of popular music with the 1930s, and you know, some of the first artists like, you know, Willie Nelson and Dolly Parton, who were making music in the 60s. And so like we have this time span that's all being combined into one album, but also, like I said, having new artists, having artists who are just making it on the scene now, and having them on the same album as someone like Dolly Parton. It's just really interesting to see the influences that are from all over the place in this album. I mean, she covered a Beatles song. It's so interesting, the choices that were made.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, first of all, what are you doing? Like, go listen to the album. But also, the like, to me, the album itself is kind of broken up into threes. Tracks one through I'll say one through five, which are American Requiem, Blackbird, 16 Carriages, Protector, and My Rose, are all old style country. It's the way that they used to do country. And as you said, with American Requiem, we kind of open up with this Buffalo Springsfield sound, and I immediately caught that, and I was like, oh my, this is what she's doing. And then we get Blackbird, which a lot of people have talked about her reclaiming Blackbird and adding other people. So you have Beyonce, Tanner, Adele, who we had just talked about, with Bucket Bunny, Brittany Spencer, Tiara Kennedy, and Raina Roberts. All of them, you get 16 Carriages, which to me, in context, hits so differently.
Sure.
Protector, which literally makes my husband cry every time he hears it.
Loved Protector from the first time I heard it.
And we feature Rumi. Someone said Rumi was like, if you think I'm the only bitch up in this house without a Grammy, you're wrong. I'm coming for it. And My Rose. Then the second part would be, we get with Smoke Hour with Willie Nelson, and that kind of kicks off the contemporary country. And from six to
probably like 11, right?
Yeah, 6 to 11, we get Texas Hold'em, again another one that just hits so perfectly in context. Bodyguard, we'll come back to Dolly P, Jolene, Daughter, and that is that's the first half. And then every track after that, from 12 to Beyonce, 27, from 12 to 27, we get what is this new country, this mixing and blending of what Beyonce is like. These are all of the elements that have ever been popular in country, in popular music, and I am blending them throughout
time. It's so interesting that you were like, it's every three, because I thought of it as a one and a two. I thought like one through 11 is a clear homage to the country of the past, whereas 12 through 27 or whatever is like, hey, let's look towards the future now. Let's try something different. Let's do something new. And I can see what you're talking about, but when I originally heard the album, it was all just like, hey, this is my like, thank you, and here's my contribution.
Actually, you know what? We said to 11, but I actually think that I'm basing it on kind of when she puts the interludes in, and it's actually from, in my opinion, we go from six all the way to 18, because that is the contemporary. And I say that because you were like, oh, it's like the old and the new. This is kind of like what is contemporary. This is country music that is being made today. This has the sounds of country music. It has the stars of country music today. So we get Post Malone. We get her her collaboration with Miley Cyrus, which again, when Two Most Wanted came out, and everyone thought that that would be the follow-up to her collaboration with Lady Gaga. And for her to put it on the poster, Beyonce is on the internet. She knows what we think. She knows our theories. And for it to be a feature with Miley Cyrus, I was like, this woman is trolling us. She knows what we expect. She knows what we're looking forward to. And every single time, she's just like, you can't predict what I'm going to do. You can't do it.
I think the Miley Cyrus choice was so strategic when you think about how Miley Cyrus has been able to have a best of both worlds in country and in pop. The same with Post Malone. Like, she's clearly collaborating with people who are like proof that, like, hey, genre doesn't have to be one thing. And I think the greatest proof of that is the opening to Spaghetti, where you have Linda Martell, who is like, genre is a funny thing. It could be confining. You want to break out of it. Like, to me, that was like the introduction to, like, hey, we're gonna change up the genres a little bit. And I feel like the rest of the album is just her really just being so adventurous and just exploring what she can do with these sounds.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the album a little bit more and then we'll get into our top faves. The album in totality, I will say again, having all of these, Beyonce was so strategic with the people that she chose to collaborate, the imagery, the kind of story she wanted to tell with this album. Someone had said it's like one long road trip of an album where you start one place in America and you just drive on through and it changes just like America itself changes as you continue to drive, so does the music. And I totally felt that. Also, having legends like Willie Nelson on your album just to do a little feature, just come in, say a little something, and Dolly Parton, again, it's amazing.
It's you know I it, it. I thought about this. Actually, Kanye was the one who had me think about this because I remember when Kanye came out with Dark Twisted Fantasy, and he had all of these features. And then you listen to it, and you're like, that person was literally on that song to sing like 3 seconds of it. And I was just like, oh, that's such an interesting way of using human voices, whether speaking or singing, as instruments, and being like, oh, I just want like a little bit of harp here. I just want a little bit of Paul McCartney here. Like, I just want a little bit of this. And so, like, when you listen and like you find out that, like, Stevie Wonder is playing harmonica and Jolene, you're like, motherfucker, like, you okay, all right, yeah, add that in, add that sound that is so uniquely Stevie into something that even though you're not highlighting him, like, you're just adding that instrument of Stevie into the song to kind of add a more a robust experience.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. And we should all, I mean, like, we would all be so lucky as to have a Stevie Wonder feature, let alone to have a Stevie. We are all blessed to have a Stevie Wonder, Beyoncé Knowles, and Dolly Parton collaboration all on one song. It's crazy. It's incredible.
Crazy.
Okay, let's talk about it. What are your faves? I have no idea. There were 27 tracks on this song, on this album. Like,
And
that's
you know what?
insanity.
It, because of what happened with Renaissance, I know that the faves I say now are going to be different in a year than what they are right now. But just based off of the few times I've listened to it, I'm just gonna I'll we'll do one for one.
Okay, yeah, let's do it. Like,
Is
and
that
are you doing like best to worst, or are you just listing out
this
five?
is just this is in no particular order. I don't have a best to worst yet.
I agree with you mostly because, as you said, I'll listen to certain songs and I'll be like, my God, this is hitting today. And then the next day, I'll have a new favorite. So let's go.
All right. Right off the bat, Protector. It won me over the moment I heard it. I think, it's such a sweet, heartfelt dedication to her daughters and for what it means to be a mother. Like, I think it's such a beautiful song, and it just was like usually when I listen to an album, traditionally, they'll put the dance songs first. Like, they'll kind of start with the high beat ones and kind of go to the more slow ones as the album goes on. And her album kind of starts with more ballads. It starts with American Requiem and Blackbird and 16 Carriages. So we're like all starting with these ballads, but like all of them are powerful, but there was something about Protector. Maybe it was having Rumi on there. I don't know. But, you know, what was the lyric? Like, you're the projector and for me the shine. I don't know all the lyrics yet. Forgive me, Beehive.
I know you're going to shine. I'll be your projector.
Yeah, I just beautiful lyrics and just a simple, well-made song. So that's one of my top fives.
Okay. My top is, at the very first second I heard this song, I knew what Beyoncé was going for. The motif, I had it in my head. And I have been listening to this song on repeat, and that is Alligator Tears.
Ooh.
I am such a fan of Alligator Tears so much because Alligator Tears, first of all, it has that little twang, like that old Western twang. And I can see like the cowboy on the horse. I've been saying that this is both a love song and a threat. Like, this song is Beyoncé saying, like, I've given you everything. I'm willing to give you everything. And you still seek attention from other places. Well, you have my attention now. And you're not going anywhere. And I've said this before, but Alligator Tears kind of, if it doesn't sample, it definitely reflects the opening of The Chain by Fleetwood Mac.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to the guitars, they're very, very similar. And that to me, I was like, The Chain from Fleetwood Mac is a song about preparing for a divorce. It's like, hey, if you can't get it together, we're going to have to go our separate ways.
Yeah.
Alligator's Tears is Beyoncé saying, you're going nowhere. I'm sorry, darling. That chain is for life. You go where I go. And I love this song. I love this sound. The lyrics, think about leaving. Hell no. Like, again, it works both ways. I literally listened to this song and I was like, Jay-Z, blink twice if you're okay. Because Beyoncé's
well, okay, can nowhere. Can I ask you something completely separate?
Yeah.
There are a few songs on here, like Alligator Tears and Jolene, where I'm just like, clearly she has this, like, stay away from my man, like, voice that she's putting out there. But, like, Jay-Z, like, you really ride or die that right. hard for Jay-Z, B? Like, so I feel like that's going to get her in trouble.
Well, no. First and foremost, I think we should know Beyoncé has told us since 2003, Jay-Z is her man, Jay-Z is who she wants to be with, and Jay-Z is who she will be with.
You mean when they met when she was 17?
Yeah, exactly. No, but here's the thing. I mean, I think, like, we're not going to go really deep into it, but in my mind, you had, like, a groomer situation, and then the tables got turned. Because Beyoncé was like, no. I saw what you was trying to do, but this is mine now. I don't let go. I don't lose at this. I'm in it to win it. And, like, I just want to put that out there.
I don't disagree. I guess there is a part of me, and we'll get back to the album. I'm so sorry to just sidetrack out of this for a second, but there's just so much of Beyoncé's, songwriting history where it's like, to the left, to the left, ladies leave your man at home, where I'm just like, I really thought she would have left this nigga by now. Like, she is really so ride or die for him in a way I do not understand even a little bit, but, like, good for her. Like, whatever. She seems happy with it. Fine.
Well, a few things. One, someone has said this album is actually an album inspired by her mother and what her mother had to go through.
Mm.
So if Renaissance was for Uncle Johnny, Cowboy Carter is for Tina Knowles.
For Tina.
And that's, I mean, like, it, even the alternative, like, the limited edition albums have Beyoncé, which is Tina Knowles' maiden name, or at least her family name, because her maiden name was Beyoncé because they misspelled it. There's a whole background to it. If you haven't checked that story out, please go look it up because it's amazing. But to that, I see that Beyoncé is telling stories of generations. It's not just her story. It is a story that her family has time and time again. So this idea of my man is mine, go get your own, totally, like, I get it. And then also, I just want to say, people always are like, Jay-Z, really? I think we forget that people are pick-me's, and pick-me's will go after what they can. You ain't got to be Denzel. You ain't got to be Jeff Bezos. You ain't got to have the most money. You ain't got to have the best looks. You just got to be somebody else's. And a lot of people get off on having access to something that belongs to someone else, especially if you can say he's married to Beyonce and I got his attention. A lot of people wear that with a badge of pride. Mm. And Beyonce is just saying, is it worth it? Because when you get to daughter, she is like, you can try me and you may end up in a body bag.
Very, very true. Okay, all right. So I just to get back to our top five for a second. My number two, maybe my favorite track of the album. I don't know. We'll see. I've been listening to Spaghetti nonstop. I love Spaghetti. I love how it just plays with genres. I love the country petty of it all. It seemed like such a new sound when I was listening to it. I was like, this is something that's new. This is something I'm not hearing a lot of. This feels like true fusion of genre. So that's why it was a standout favorite for me.
One of the things that I do love about that song Spaghetti is a lot of people were like, you know, what is Spaghetti? Like, why should you use Spaghetti? Spaghetti Westerns were Westerns that were made in Italy that were not considered real Westerns. However, they became the dominant art form because when people think of Westerns, they are usually thinking of Spaghetti Westerns, which were more grimy. They had more violence. They had more moral dilemmas.
It's like a Tarantino Western for those new to film. Yes,
absolutely. Which I love that you said that because to me, if you are a Tarantino fan, you should be writing for Cowboy Carter.
Yeah.
Because what Tarantino did for movies and for movie history, that is what Beyonce is doing for music.
Well, I will say that one of the things I found out, which, you know, forgive me for all the people, I know there are beehivers listening that are like, you guys are a week behind on all of this, but like, we're unpacking this. Beyonce like got all this inspiration from watching Western films. Like that was a majority of it. She was crafting songs based off of these old Westerns like Urban Cowboy and Hateful Eight and like The Harder They Fall. And she would kind of use that as inspiration for each and every song. So I think that, yeah, pointing out the Spaghetti Westerns of it all, as soon as I heard it, I thought of Spaghetti Westerns, even though, you know, there's kind of, you know, lines within the song that talk about All the Same to Me, Plain Jane Spaghetti, things like that. Like there's different ways to think of it.
Absolutely. Okay, my number two is Yaya.
Yaya.
Yaya is the moment I heard Yaya, my mind exploded. First of all, we open up with the Nancy Sinatra, These Boots Are Made for Walking sample. The moment she did that, I like my mind literally, I couldn't think. Other than, you bitch, what are you doing? I love Nancy Sinatra. Yeah. I love this whole feel, this whole sound. And then like the entire song is, for me, it was like, it's like time traveling because you get so many different samples, so many different lyrics, so many different sounds, and you're just moving back and forth through all of them. And it's just such a fun and joyous experience. I said, this is revival music. This, you need a tambourine. You need to be in a tent somewhere in the heat, just listening to Bible Belt preachers. And this is the music that they would play. This is like the shouted out music. I love it. We get the Beach Boys. Again, when we just move into the Beach Boys sample, I was like, I think I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of the things I love about that song too is like we were talking the Americana of it all. The lyrics are so hard on just like, you know, a whole lot of red in that white and blue, huh? History can't be erased. Like she is spitting some shit right now.
Correct. This is, well, it's very much like the songs of that time, like we were talking about. The James Browns, the Tina Turners, the Beatles,
Ray Charles, Little Richards,
Little Richards, but also the Beatles, the Beach Boys. What I'm saying, not the Beach Boys, but these were political artists. These were artists whose music, A, by its existence, was political, but they usually had a message. They had something that they wanted to say. It was like, go out, vote, be active, be present in your community, notice what's going on. Yeah. All of those things were really important at that time. And okay, so I'm going to give a little background on some of these things because I just like, I loved this. First and foremost is, as I said, the song opens up with Nancy Sinatra's These Boots Are Made for Walking. Now, the layers to this sample. First of all, we have the fact that These Boots Are Made for Walking is inspired by a line. The song itself was inspired by a line said by Frank Sinatra in the movie 4-4 Texas. So 4-4 Texas has a line where Frank Sinatra says, "They tell me them boots ain't built for walking." Nancy Sinatra reimagines that line as "these boots are made for walking," and she makes a feminist pop song that says, "I do what I want. You don't tell me what I can and cannot do." So for Beyonce to take that sample and kind of use it as the introduction to this part of the album, saying the exact same things, "You can't tell me what I can and cannot do. I do what I want," and all for it to be from Texas, I was just like, this woman, this is right before she says the line, "because I'm a clever girl." And I was like, you're so clever. You're so ingenious. It's ridiculous.
It's a great song. And honestly, to me, it's one of those that like, I'm really excited to see the, Texas Hold'em got a lot of TikTok dances and things like that. I think Yaya is going to actually produce a lot of fun TikTok dances as well.
Can you imagine seeing this live? If you're going to tell me that Beyonce is not going to come out and have someone throw a cloak on her and just like do that little, you know, the James round of it all, the performance.
The whole thing. I'm excited for that. I'm also excited to just like see like line dancing in the WeHo.
it's happening. Last little bits that I need to say about Yaya, and then I promise I'll let you go on. As I said, this song is about like just pop music throughout time. And there's a line where she goes, "We shaking, we shaking, we swimming, we jerking, we twerking." And I was like, "We shaking" is not only just like the shake that you would do, but it starts with Elvis Presley's "The Hip Shake" that was controversial at the time. Then we get "We swimming," which everyone knows that 60s dance, but "We jerking" again, a dance move that was done in the 60s that also we have a different, the jerk in 2000s, but then you also have "We twerking," which is a very popular dance move right now in hip hop. So again, it's the lines that she's saying is literally transcending time and genres. But then finally, you have the back half of it where she starts to sing. And for those of you who don't know, because I was this way, I was like, "Oh, she sounds like Elvis Presley." And no. Elvis Presley notoriously stole his sound from a guy named Roy Hamilton. If you go and you look up Roy Hamilton music and you listen to it, I played it for my husband. He was like, "You're telling me this is not Elvis?" I was like, "No, this is not Elvis." So again, Beyonce is reclaiming all of this music and giving people their flowers and their credit that they never got before. And she said, "You will learn today." I love this song.
I also love that, like, in the part of, there's a part of Yaya where she goes from Texas to Gary. Gary, Indiana, birthplace of Michael Jackson. So it's like really just showing like, hey, we're Black people were taking over music from the South all the way up to the North, and just the, you know, the full history of all of that. Just so many nuggets that kind of, the more I listen to it, the more I pick up on. Also, she mentioned the Chitlin' Circuit, which is how Black people would kind of perform and do concerts at a time where Jim Crow laws were around, so they kind of had to perform separately. And that's where like rock and roll and blues and a lot of our modern music kind of gets its roots from as well.
Absolutely. Okay, what is your next pick?
My next pick is Sweet Honey Buckin'.
It's such a jam.
Like, it's just such like a dope song. I love how the song kind of changes tempos as it goes on. It has so many kind of rises and falls to it. It was produced by Pharrell, so it kind of has a little bit more modern sound on it. Shaboozy, which is a African country singer, funny enough. Yep. This is his second appearance on the album, kind of, you know, adding a little bit of, he says, "You want smoke? I'm the Marlboro Man. This ain't Calabasas. We don't need highways," like shit like that. Like, really, like, you know, taking you know, you listen to country music nowadays and they're always talking about boots and trucks and, you know, all of these kind of things that are synonymous with being a cowboy, but, you know, they're kind of reclaiming that in a really fun way. And what's it say in the bag, only thing getting lassoed, things like that. So, like, really kind of having fun with those country references.
Absolutely. Sweet Honey Bucket is an amazing song because it very much, like, it is set up. It has three parts to it: sweet, honey, and buckin'. And the sweet part, we open up with Beyonce's kind of cover of Patsy's Cline, "I Fall to Pieces," a notorious country song. And when you hear it at first, it's so sweet, and you're so sweet, but it is, it's so sweet, and it's such a great, and you're like, oh, you feel like we're about to wrap up, and it feels very much like an homage to what has come before. And then we get Honey, and it changes into this modern song where, you know, like you said, we get Shaboozy and it's so much fun, but then we get Buckin'. And man, when the beat drops on Buckin', it's ass out. I mean, it's, it is.
And it goes from being so sweet to just so, like,
raunchy.
Yeah, like it feels so like sweet and sexy, I guess. Yes. You know.
So much fun. What is your, like, oh, I didn't do my number three. If I'm going to be honest, Sweet Honey Buckin would have been there. But because you chose it, that gives me room for one more.
Okay.
I'm going to mention my third, the one I've been playing the most, which is Levi's Jeans. Levi Jeans. Okay. Again, if you don't listen to country music, I don't know if you get it. But as someone who grew up listening to country music, the moment Levi Jeans came on, I was like, I know this song. I know when they would play this song. I know how everyone moves on the dance floor when they play this song. Yeah. And if this song isn't at every honky-tonk across the country, you can't tell me it's not because of racism. Because this song was made to be played with couples dancing on the dance floor at a bar, and it's such a, like, Post Malone's voice on this,
it's the best he's ever sounded.
I completely agree with you, and I never would have paired them two, but it works so well. He's another artist who kind of got his start covering Black music, using, like, you know, the Black cosign. And he was able to transition into country and people praised him for it. So this idea of Beyonce being like, if you're going to allow him and Miley to move across genres and not have a problem with it, I dare you to say something.
That's this whole album. I dare you to say something.
Absolutely. And Levi's Jeans is, not only is it a good song, it's a very sweet song. And it's so good. It is probably will be one of my top played songs of the year, I can tell, because it is so good. The lyrics are so sweet. And again, I'm every time I play it, I'm at a country bar with a beer and just having a really good time.
The song reminded me so much, like, when I first heard it, it gave me Sheryl Crow, Kid Rock picture. Do you remember that one?
Yes,
like,
of course.
Just like classic, just like a country ballad duets. Like,
yes.
You know, I feel like ballads, and specifically like duet ballads, have, like, been able to last in the genre of country in ways that we don't really see a lot of. I feel like I don't really see a lot of, like, really, like, sweet ballads in R&B as much anymore, or in some of these other genres. So it was just, it's interesting that she's kind of being able to get back to, like, some of these things that were so core to mainstream music. Like, when you even think about us growing up and, like, you know, Celine Dion and, like, all these power ballads of the time, you know, I feel like, again, country has made space for them in the way that other genres haven't really.
Absolutely. And then also I'll say that Another thing about Levi Jeans is it has that Renaissance reference, which again, it's like that. If we had the lemonade reference in Jolene to get this Renaissance message in Levi's Jeans, it is kind of again like an album that lives in between time, both the before and the after. And I love it for it. Also, Levi Jeans, American denim,
Sure.
classic Americana, as you were saying, this kind of sturdy longevity that we all associate with the American blue jean. I can't say enough about this song.
It's great. Yeah.
All right, what is your
Well,
fourth?
to that point, you know, this almost your same feelings you have about that, I had about to Most Wanted. And so, like, even though it's the obvious choice, I really enjoyed the song. I like Post Malone. I thought this was maybe the best vocal performance I've heard from Miley Cyrus in some time. I was really impressed with the way their voices were able to go together. I also think that this is kind of the most romantic song on the album. Like, I think this is like to me, I was like, oh, this is a lesbian wedding song. Like, I can't wait
Yes.
to go and just like see like at like a honky tonk bar, like feeling like that, you know, two women have a song about love for each other that they can use in this way. So
Yeah.
that was kind of my first impressions of it.
No, I completely agree. My husband is such a big Miley Cyrus fan. I mean, he is a huge Miley Cyrus fan. So when I made him listen to practically every other song on the album before I let him listen to this, because I was like, you won't want to listen to anything else.
Yeah.
And like, sure enough, he listened to it and he like just started crying. And those of you who aren't familiar, Miley's voice and Beyonce's voice are usually like not paired together in a lot of like modern music, but they work so well. And they like, I think someone pointed out, and I could be wrong, I'm gonna check it really quickly, but Beyonce allows Miley to take the higher octave on this, and she even allows Miley to kind of start the song in a way that Beyonce doesn't usually do with her features. So it's
Because
very,
Beyonce ain't got nothing
very,
to prove. She'll got We all know she's a better singer than Miley Cyrus, but she like allows Miley to shine and enhances her vocal performance by kind of, like you said, doing the harmonies and kind of doing some more background vocals and allowing Miley to take the lead more. She's come a long way from Dreamgirls.
Yes, she really has. This Two Most Wanted, I think it's already charting and it's already slated to be. I find it funny because I feel like the songs from this album are fighting to be on the charts
Oh,
because
100%.
everyone loves their own version and everyone has their own faves that there are the songs that Beyonce and her team want to be singles, and there's the songs that we're like, I understand and I see you, but we got it from here.
To be honest,
But
that's my favorite part about streaming culture. Like, there's so much negative that comes from streaming in the music industry. But what I love is this idea that, you know, prior to Spotify and all these things, the record company would decide, hey, these are going to be your three singles before the album even comes out. Whereas now it's like, hey, what song is getting the most streams right now? Because I could physically see which songs are probably going to be the next singles based off of their performance on Spotify.
absolutely. Okay, but Two Most Wanted, man, that is a it's a beautiful, beautiful song.
Yeah.
Okay, my next pick, this is really hard, I'm not gonna lie, but I think I'm gonna go with Two Hands to Heaven.
Oh, beautiful.
Just based on what we were talking about, this kind of run that you and I just went back with, the Levi's Jeans, the Two Most Wanted, and now Two Hands to Heaven, a beautiful song that is both heartbreaking and passionate, and it feels like a road trip. It feels like the wind. You can kind of feel time passing by, and you can feel the heartache and the love and the kind of togetherness and foreverness of the song with Two Hands to Heaven. And it itself also has like a second half that is just like we're running. It's
Yeah.
going. It's beautiful. And I just like, I wanted to praise that song so much. It has so many things that I connected with in terms of the lyrics. The one of the lines that I really wanted to pull out was, in these dark times, I'm so glad that this love is blinding, because all I see is the best of you and all you see is the best of me. And I was like, yes, there are, they've been through hardship, but that doesn't matter. They are here, they're in it. And again, Two Hands to Heaven, such a beautiful, beautiful song.
You know, the front half, the part one of that song, to me, like, you know, she obviously had all of these acclaimed, you know, collaborations on the album. This felt the most like a Willie Nelson song to me. It felt the most like a very, like, simple country song that may have, you know, came out in the 60s or the 70s, at least, you know, from the lyrics of it all. You know, bottle in my hand with my whiskey up high, two hands to heaven, coyotes running wild. Like, it just, it's something very simple, but very folky as well, which I really appreciated. You know, she said in an interview that, like, you know, she wanted to really tap into like raw organic folk sounds to kind of counter the AI and digital filter stuff that's happening. And, you know, she was like, you know, I left in a lot of imperfections. I left in sounds with animals. I left in like just, you know, I didn't tweak and, you know, do a lot of stuff to it because I wanted it to feel flawed and wanted it to feel human. And I feel like this song's a great example of that.
Yeah, some things, a little bit more things about this song. One is we get the lines, this is the real you, this is the real me. I can't do anything but envy, bliss, please. First of all, the way that she says bliss, please, for me, double meaning, this idea of requesting bliss and happiness and just like we've been through so much, I just want to be happy, but also bliss, please. Like that's not happening. That's not how life is. Bliss is not a true and long-term option. So I love that. But also that part of the song when we get into it feels the most Lemonade. It feels the most like reminiscent of what we went through and the journey we went through with her in Lemonade. And then I will admit I'm not the I'm not a musicologist. I don't know that much about the art of making music or voices, but someone pointed out Beyonce's ability to do these runs and then just stop and then go back into it is a craft in and of itself.
No, I mean, vocally, she is doing things that are so advanced, things that are seemingly, I mean, we'll get to like the daughter of it all, but like she is doing acrobats vocally that, vocally that I think are things that we're not really seeing because there's been such a dependency on auto-tune and just like this kind of fast production of songs that people aren't really taking the time to do all of the work that she's doing, because it's not even just the vocals that she's presenting in the leads, it's the vocals that are happening in the harmonies as well that are really impressive.
Okay, what is your final pick for the top five?
You know, I will say this. After listening to the album, I do think Texas Hold'em is still up there for me. But for the case of just speaking on something different, I'm going to put Riverdance. Riverdance to me felt so Florida.
You know what? I have not heard anyone say that, but you're right. It's Florida. And bounce on that shit then.
Yeah.
Bounce on that shit. And you'd be like,
like, there's something like she's really like, I mean, maybe it's a better term for it would probably be like the more Louisiana of it all, but like this kind of like fusion of country and dirty South hip hop in a way that I think blends together so well. We saw so much of that with like Nelly in the early 2000s, and I feel like this is kind of like Beyonce's version of that. I'm already seeing dance moves to this song all over the internet. Like, to me, this one is just the one that I think probably will get some airplay. Maybe we'll see a video for it. I'm hoping we see videos for all. I want a Lemonade of this. I want a visual album. Like, please, I know you've been working your ass off, Beyonce. Give us some. Because I really want to see how she envisions some of these songs, because I can't listen to a single song on this album without envisioning like my own version of music videos from her.
Absolutely. Someone had said, and I will look, if you look at the early promotionals, like the little clips that she did of the visuals for Renaissance, or at least what we thought was Renaissance, a lot of them line up really well with Cowboy Carter. So a lot of people are like, were these originally visuals for Cowboy Carter that she put on pause so she could do Renaissance? I don't know. I don't know what it was ever supposed to be, but I do know that Beyonce is a very, very smart trickster. She loves to play with us. She loves to play with us.
To that point, I mean, it's kind of hard to ignore that, like, the first Renaissance was a cowboy hat and a horse. Like, the cowboy hat and the horse is consistent between the two albums. So I'm interested to see with the third version, like, how she's going to incorporate some of that same imagery.
People have already said that if you look closely, we're getting a lot of rock imagery. She's starting to pull out, like, and the thing about Beyonce that's so crazy is she does like to, like, give us little crumbs along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so fun because there are things, she'll use like a scrunchie and we'll be like, does that mean something? I don't know. and here's the thing, it could. Like,
she's the Jordan Peele of musicians.
Yes, it is so, it's so amazing. And I love her promotion. All right, for my final song, I had to go back and forth. I was like thinking which one, we've covered so many great ones already. I think my final choice, specifically because what you brought up early with Riverdance and the Nelly of it, Tyrant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Has that old Dirty South feel to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, again, an equally sexy, fun song that you just like want to ride it out to. I heard this song and I was like, oh, we are getting down. She will have people disgusted on the dance floor, and I'm here for it. I can't wait to be around other people hearing this music, because the way we don't know how to act as is, you put on a Beyonce song as is, people go crazy. You put on this music, you have no choice but to dance.
It's, you know, the thing that I think is most important about this album, I feel like, is what it's going to do for the next decade of music, for what it's going to do to kids who are in high school, who are starting, you know, bands, are writing stuff, and they're like, oh, I can do that now. I didn't realize I could do that. And like, I wonder what country music is even going to sound like in 5 years because of an album like this, because, you know, we've already seen hip hop, you know, find its way into country through so many white artists, but to now have an artist of Beyonce's caliber doing this and making like a master class at it as well, I'm just really interested to see what the impact is going to be. I mean, I think Tyrant is such a great example of, you know, the fusion of it all, the energy, you know, and again, still staying true to a lot of these country, these things that we feel like are very country. You know, I just don't sit up and saddle, boy. Like, there's so many things in there that just kind of give reference to it while also kind of, again, looking ahead. So I think this is one of the songs where I was just like, yeah, she's doing something different. She's doing something new.
She is. And I like, it also starts off with Dolly Parton. And I think someone's like, you can hear it very clearly in this song. There's a very famous viral video of Dolly Parton playing her nails. Like what would be like the sound of like the washboard is Dolly Parton. And I believe it's Patti LaBelle are just playing with their acrylic nails. And that's where the background noise is coming from. And so Beyonce did the exact same thing on this album. And again, it's just like, this woman did her research. It's so much fun. It's so good. I love a deep dive. And I know we didn't get to everything. Like you said, we didn't mention Bodyguard, which I know people have been like, they're like, Bodyguard Hive is strong.
For Julius.
Julius, the Julius of it all. That's a whole other conversation. I'm not going to lie, American Requiem, if I had to, like, that would have been my sixth pick, because I really do feel like it deserves its flowers.
My sixth man was Daughter. Because of the opera of it all. And I thought of just Beyonce performing opera in the Grand Ole Opry. Like, just the fact that she's just able to incorporate that on the same album that she's rapping on. I'm just like, what can't she do? What can't she do? And also, I hate to do it, but like, Taylor, you better be sweating bullet somewhere, Taylor Swift, because no one wants to hear your silly little poem album after this shit. Like, I don't know how Beyonce will get denied album of the year again, but to be honest, it doesn't matter anymore because she is just making art that is affecting a culture more than it's about accolades of any kind.
I want everyone to know that that was Tony Curtis, not Siege. So when y'all come for him, go in one direction.
Come at me.
We hope that you guys enjoyed this conversation as much as we did. Let us know your favorites. We're really excited. Again, I can't wait to see what Act 3 is going to be, because if this is what Act 2 is, if this is what we got for 2, and someone was like, this is the same woman who 2 years ago gave us Renaissance. Like, it's
she
crazy.
Gave us Renaissance, and then she gave us a Renaissance tour, and then she dropped this, and I'm assuming there's going to be another tour. I can't wait to see the outfits of the other tour. I can't wait to see how we as Black people show up and show out for these tours. Like, y'all going to be so sick of us.
Yes, you're going to be sick of us, and rightly so, because we will not stop. I've been playing this album. I have started being that guy where I roll down my windows and I play this album so people know that I'm playing this album, and you should too. Like, we should live in a world, like, that's one of the things that we haven't really talked about it a lot, but like the Freaknik documentary, they talked about how, like, people were playing music in their cars, and, like, you know, that's how you discovered what the latest thing was. And I was like, we really have lost something by hearing not necessarily what other people are saying they're listening to, but actually what songs are people actively listening to, what songs have people bumping in their cars.
Yeah,
like, that's what so I'm doing my part. I'm raising up my windows. I'm playing Cowboy Carter.
Can I say one last thing about Cowboy Carter as an album? You know, we talked about this, I think, a few weeks ago, about how this whole album was kind of a reaction to Beyonce, how she was treated at the CMA Awards when she performed the Dixie Chicks. And I just think it's so interesting that there wasn't a single... I think it's so interesting that there wasn't a single person who was in attendance that day who made it on the album. Like, she's not collaborating with Tim McGraw. She's not collaborating with Carrie Underwood. She's like, no, I'm going to your dad's favorite artist. I'm going to the grandfather, like a Dolly Parton, Willie Nelson, like the undisputed champions of this genre that, like, there's not a single thing that you could say because I got their cosign. Like, I just think it's so brilliant. And, like, if you thought Cunty Country Petty wasn't, like, the way she made a whole album out of that, the way she said, y'all rolled your eyes at me and now I'm coming after all of this. Like, I just think this needs to be studied for years to come.
Oh, 100%. Like, that's kind of one of the things. It's one of the reasons why I love American Requiem so much. It's because Beyonce says, can you stand me? Can you stand? I think people forget that there was a whole part of that audience who refused to stand for Beyonce while she sang Daddy Lessons. And she was like, y'all don't know how much I've been through to sing my song. And again, it's like, she's talking about singing the Daddy Lesson songs. People don't understand the hurt and the pain that she went through. And the idea that she went to sing that song to share her story and her art with these people, and to kind of be like, hey, I think that what you're doing is important. I think that this genre has legs, and to be met with racism and misogyny and just downright hate, for her to say, can you stand me now? Can you hear me now? Like, you will have to listen because I'll make it so. Okay. Like, I love it so much.
You don't have to listen because your kids are listening now. Boom.
Oh, your kids, your daddy, your mama, everybody. Like, they demanded that they play these songs. And a lot of people are talking about which songs are, like, being picked on the radio station. And, like, there are DJs who are like, I don't care what you chose. I want to play my fave. Mm-hmm. All that being said, someone has pointed out, these tickets will be so hard to get because now we have other people.
It's a recession. Like, oh, why are you doing this to us?
Why, Beyonce? I think, personally, if you are Black, you should get tickets mailed directly to your household.
Yeah, there should be some kind of Juneteenth pre-sale.
I love it. Okay. Anything else you want to say?
No, I just like I said, you know, this was, I've only listened to the album for a few times. I can't wait to listen to it more. I'm sure there's going to be new things that we pick up on, that the public at large kind of picks up on as they kind of dissect it more and more. And I'm just excited to kind of get those conversations going and just seeing what other people notice.
Yeah, absolutely. I did want to say, this album meant so much to me because I had posted this on my socials, but I listened to it the first night, loved it. But I woke up the next morning early. It was like I said, it was playing in my mind. And I woke up crying. And I woke up crying because the importance and the relevance of this album was like unlocked in my brain. You and I both grew up in the South. We grew up being one of very few Black people in our environment. We've gone to Cowboys, like we've gone to country
Cowboys
bars.
In Orlando.
Yes.
The bar.
Yeah, exactly. We've done it. And I was like, I was never made to feel like I was allowed to enjoy country. Like I was allowed to celebrate these songs and like this music, even though I understood it and I felt it and I thought it was great. And lyrically, like, so deep and emotional. And I was always made to feel like I wasn't welcome in these spaces. But then I listened to this album and it reminded me, my family has been in this country for generations. Yep. My father's family can go back to the 1600s in this country. We have worked the tobacco fields of Carolinas and the Virginias. We have worked the coal mines of West Virginia. Like
the livestock. Like we were actual cowboys. Like,
yeah, we were actual cowboys. Like, to know that my family has such history with what gets to be defined as country in this very country, and then also be told that we don't get to claim any of it. I love that Beyonce was like, no, babes, no, we coming for what's ours. And that's what this album did for me. And just the ability to see that and then be like, who says I can't?
Yeah.
Who says that I can't do this thing? Who says that I can't be in this room? Who are you to tell me that this isn't mine? Because it's not yours.
Yeah. And just to, you know, see an artist at that level kind of give something to all of us. You know, there's so many times where people are coming out with music and it's so self-involved, or it's just the kind of like gloating about their own success. Whereas this, she's telling the story of America. She's telling the story of all of us in so many ways. So it really just feels like this was a gift more than it was some kind of like selfish, egotistical expression.
Yeah, it's so funny. There are videos on TikTok of Italians hearing Beyonce sing opera in Italian on Daughter for the first time. And seeing those videos made me be like, oh, it is like, I know what it's like to feel represented and seen by Beyonce, but I also love that she gives that feeling to so many other people. So many other people, when Beyonce singing Italian, Italians lost their mind. They're like, oh my God, she noticed us. She sees us. She's validating us. And I just think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's honestly, I can't think of any one in her category. She is just, she's in the category of her own.
Pierre who?
She's Pierre who?
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this. We want to hear what you have to say. Reach out to us at Brown Meets World. Don't forget to subscribe to our Patreon. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube. Don't forget to check out our merch. And don't forget to dream,
cry,
and listen to Beyonce.
Hey. Later bros. This episode of Brown Meets World was produced by CJ and edited by Tony Codis. Brown Meets World is a Two Free Tokens media production.
Later, bros.
Yeehaw.